Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greetings and salutations.
Well, hello.
Hi, Holly.
Hi, Dave.
What is going on with your bad self?
Hey, welcome back from the Grand Canyon.
Oh, thank you.
I know this will air a little while after you got back, but
well,
still.
Years and years and years after when we review this. Like, oh yeah, I did do the Grand Canyon.
But you're recuperated, right? I don't have to cover for you or anything today?
No, unfortunately, I don't have to walk through the podcast landscape. Although we are kind of traversing through this, but yeah.
But not with our legs.
I can just use my mouth.
Welcome. Well, good. I'm glad. Welcome back.
Good to be here. Safe and sound.
And welcome to What Difference Does It Make? Everyone else.
And what the hell is this? What the heck is What Difference Does It Make?
What Difference Does It Make is a podcast about 80s music and other things like 80s pop culture.
You have a new tagline that we introduced last week, and I actually made some changes because it used to be 80s music and beyond.
Yes.
And then you said
everything 80. We talk about everything 80s, but mostly music.
That's exactly what I put on the website.
Oh, excellent. So check out our website. Check it out, and you can see Dave's change.
You can read words.
It's wddimpodcast.com.
Please sign up with your email address, and we will reward you with lovely content. We're putting it together, and I think we'll probably do like a weekly newsletter of just things that went on in the 80s on this date in history, little videos, and hopefully little nuggets too.
Yes, and we promised we'll make it fun so you don't regret signing up.
It will be welcome content. Maybe put a smile on your face, hopefully. Like, oh, Bill, crap, another Bed Bath & Beyond, another Amazon deal. Oh, look.
Here's some 80s content.
Oh.
And the smiling faces of Dave and Holly.
There you go. You can always rely on the smiling faces.
Smiling faces.
No singing on the email.
God.
Did we harmonize there?
I promise. Sounded like it to me.
Oh, yeah. Like the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. If it sounded like that to me, these headphones must be magic. Or the mics.
They are magical.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are 80s. We talk about mostly music, and we do talk a lot about K-Rock, and we do talk a lot about the year. We take apart each year.
Bit by bit.
Bit by bit. We are currently at 1983, and we are heading downhill now.
We are mid-1983.
We really are. We're going through the 106.7 top songs of 1983.
As published by K-Rock, the Rock of the 80s in Los Angeles.
Yes, and this was back in 1983. They have an updated list. They have the 80
top songs of the year.
Of each year. So that means there are 26.7 songs that were missing.
Eliminated.
Usually I test Holly on whether these songs are there or not. This week, because we're heading towards the top of the peak, there's one song that is not on this list. Each podcast, we go through 10 songs at a time. Right now, we start at number 50. We will go to number 41, and that will be our podcast for this week. and there is only one song that has not been included, and I think it's going to be fairly obvious. So I won't even test her out on this. Just assume that every song is on there, and then maybe one song you'll say, hey, I don't think this song is on there.
I'm going to blurt it out.
Okay.
Not yet. I'm going to blurt it out as we go.
I will allow you to blurt it out when the time has come.
Thank you.
We are recording. Don't worry.
I'm supposed to be double checking you.
Okay. You're always double checking my work. Yes. That's probably for the best.
Yes. Nice job. Yes. Shouldn't you? I appreciate you checking my work as well.
Okay. Excellent. Well,
I mean, not that you'd ever find anything wrong with it, but I appreciate you checking it.
For sure. Okay, so we start at number 50, and what is this song? And tell me about it, Holly.
This song is UB40's Red Red Wine.
Yes.
From Labor of Love. But, all right. I'm outing myself. I'm going to out myself right now. You know what I'm going to say, and you probably knew this.
I don't know where you were going with this.
Okay, this song was first recorded by Neil Diamond.
Yes. You never knew that?
No!
As a member of the tribe, you should know that Neil Diamond has recorded Red Red Wine and wrote, what else did he write? What song did he write for the Monkees? That's right. I'm a believer. So you should know these
insert are, here.
Good job.
No, I did not. Okay, I know. I've totally outed myself. I can't believe it.
I should out myself.
So yes, not only am I a member of the tribe, I'm a member of my graduating class of 1983, and we were all these, you know, big Neil Diamond fans.
But we all love Neil Diamond, and of course, everyone knows that Neil Diamond wrote this song. So did you go back?
No, everybody doesn't know that. Everybody but me knew that.
Did you go back and listen to it? Did you like, oh my God, Neil Diamond cut this song. I should give it a listen. Did you give it a listen?
It's in the queue. Isn't that terrible? Sure. I ran out of time. I did run out of time this week, but it is in the queue. And I will listen to it. I promise you.
It was not a big hit for him.
No, it was not. I know that because probably I would have known about it if it was a big hit.
But have you ever seen Neil Diamond perform?
Not in person.
No. Okay. Because he does do this song. He does the UB40 version now. It's kind of an homage because the original version kind of flopped.
Yeah.
I think it's one of his favorite versions is this Red Red Wine.
He does say that. Yes.
He does say that.
He did. I did read that somewhere. No. He told me when I called him for this.
Okay. I need confirmation.
Yeah. No, I did. I read something about him, an interview.
But yeah, it was one of his favorites. Like with all Neil Diamond songs, a lot of different covers. And so when UB40 discovered it, obviously, they were like you. Not obviously, but yeah, they were like you in that they did not realize that Neil Diamond had written it.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
This was back in 1988 or 83. So mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, as I read in this, they knew of a version by this artist, Tony Tribe.
Yes, but they did it in 1969.
That was right.
Right.
Okay. Tony Tribe's version was in 1969. Neil Diamond wrote it in 67.
Right.
Okay. So then, so UB40 decides to do a cover of it, and they see that it was written by N. Diamond.
Jamaican. They thought it was someone Jamaican.
Right, because Tony Tribe did a reggae version of the song. That's what appealed to the UB40. So UB40 thought it was Negus Diamond. The song came out in 83 by UB40 and did okay. And of course, the record label gets involved as they do. You know how you hear, you make me feel so fine, you keep me rocking all the time. The original version did not have that little rap version in there.
Oh.
And it was...
Wait, the original UB40 version? When they first recorded it.
The original UB40 version in 1983, okay. They edited it out.
They edited that part out?
Yes, because, you know, rap is scary in 1983.
Yes, especially from UB40.
Yeah, but it did... it did reach number one on the UK charts in 83 and number 34 in the United States in 84... Cut to 1988, and what happens is, do you know what?
Number one.
It goes to number one, thanks to, we'll say.
Guy Zapolian.
Okay. This jock heard the song with the rap version, and he played it, and he thought it was a hit. And lo and behold, when he played it, the phones lit up, which happened back in the 80s.
Yes, the phones actually lit up.
Phones lit up. So, and then after that, it became a number one song in the U.S.
Yeah.
Kind of fun.
That is fun.
Now, whenever I think of UB40, I think of Brett Kavanaugh. And apparently, allegedly, he threw ice at someone who he thought looked like the lead singer of UB40.
Yep.
After he attended a UB40 concert. You do like the song, though.
It's funny. I like the song. I don't love the song.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's good, but I wonder if I'm going to love, am I going to love the Neil Diamond version?
The version from 67 sounds like it comes from the 60s, you know, it's of that time. So yeah. It's good stuff, but it's a good song of just, you know, a guy who's drowning his sorrows.
Yeah. In Red, Red, White. Do you like the song?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good, good song.
Okay. I'm going to out myself again.
Oh my God. All right. Are we going to the next song?
No, I'm going to out myself with one more Neil Diamond.
Oh,
thing.
A little nugget of diamond.
Yeah.
All right.
So Cracklin' Rosie.
Yeah.
Which I know the song. I love the song.
Yeah.
It's about red wine.
Okay.
Is that true?
Apparently, people write songs about alcohol beverages.
How did I never? So is the lyrics supposedly sing the praises of wine and its ability to make you forget your problems? Well, which
I love that.
We know.
There we go.
We know that's true, but I never put the lyrics of Cracklin' Rosie together. I guess you didn't either.
There is. I never thought of it like that. But as we go further down this podcast, we might discover that people write other songs about alcohol.
Oh, well.
This is exciting. Good. Little teaser. To keep stay tuned, everybody.
That's super exciting.
All right. This song now has been moved up. It was number 50. It's now number 47 on the K-Rock charts.
Oh, so I'm guessing this one is still on the list.
Yeah. Well, obviously this is.
I know.
Okay. It will be fairly obvious when we get to it. Okay. So we have yet another cover. Did you know that? Did you know that this is a cover song?
Yes. Of course I knew this was the cover.
Okay. So this is Susie and the Banshees, Dear Prudence.
However, I did not know who the song was about. Did you?
Yes. I'm kind of a Beatles fan. Oh, okay. Well, but go ahead and tell me.
Well, maybe
tell our audience.
Maybe you know more.
No, if you're... Well, you just read this, so this is exciting for you. So share your enthusiasm.
Well, I love the song. I love the song and I love Susie. But yes, of course, I knew it was a cover. I even knew it was a cover back then.
Do you know what album it was on?
Oh.
Aha.
Ooh. No.
Okay.
Do tell.
It's on the White Album.
Oh, is it a Paul?
Is it a Paul or is it a John song?
Oh, it's a John song.
Or is it a George song?
Oh, well, George, you just threw in, but I would say George.
No, it's a John song.
Okay.
Okay.
You tricked me.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's about Mia Farrow's sister, Prudence.
Mm-hmm.
Farrow.
Prudence Farrow. She liked to meditate.
Yeah.
She was really into meditating.
Yeah.
Before everyone at this retreat that they did with the Maharishi.
Yes. The Beatles were all there.
Yeah, that must have been a time.
In India, yeah. Tell me why John Lennon wrote this song.
Because she was meditating so much, or she was rushing out to meditate. They're like, come on. I think they were tempting her with like, come on out and let's hang out. I think it was a little bad.
Okay.
Possibly.
Huh.
Who knows?
Because I had read that she'd suffered from depression.
I'm sure that was part of it.
I mean, meditating helps.
Good.
Well, for some.
For some.
Mm-hmm. So, but we're talking about the Beatles' version of the song, but really, we should be talking about Susie's version of the song.
Okay. What else?
What can you tell me?
Do you know who the guitarist is on this song, on this particular track? The guitarist in Susie and the Banshees, John, was not able to perform due to his abuse of certain alcohol, which apparently maybe he was enjoying the red wine or the Cracklin' Rosie a little too much. Well, so who sat in for him?
As much as I love Susie's band, I prefer the guy who stepped in personally, Robert Smith.
You've heard
of him.
Okay, very good. So you do know that.
I do know that.
Do you know why they picked this particular song?
I do not. I mean, it was their second Beatles cover.
Yes. What was the first one?
Helter Skelter.
Okay.
That wasn't a question. Helter Skelter.
Okay, good. Okay.
But no, why?
Oh, well, so all of the Banshees and Susie were fans of the White Album, mm-hmm. all except for this guy named Robert Smith.
He was not a fan of the White Album?
Not a fan of the White Album. He knew one song, and that song is Dear Prudence. And that's why they chose it.
Oh, wow.
Smith says that John Lennon's version sounds a bit unfinished. So they did that version. They did a version of it. And actually, Robert Smith's sister, Janet, plays harpsichord on it.
Oh, yes. It's a family affair.
It is a family affair. Yeah. It's cool in that they make it a little more creepy than the hippie version of the Beatles.
What would you call it? I don't know if I would have said creepy. It's
gothy.
It's gothy. Yeah. Okay. It's gothy. It's darker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It's very cool. We kind of moved up. You know, Red Red Wine was number 47. And now Dear Prudence is now number 46. Back in the day, it was at number 49. So these songs have moved up three spots. That moves us up to number 48, which is now number 45 on the updated list.
Oh.
This is
deservedly so. Are you a big Echo and the Bunnymen fan?
Yeah, are you excited? They're going to be playing the Cruel World Fest.
Yeah, I think that would be very fun to see. So this is the cutter.
This is the cutter. Spare us the cutter.
Spare us the cutter.
Yeah, it's also kind of a Dear Prudence, and that's you know, it's gothy, and yeah, Susie should be playing this Cruel World Fest.
Probably she would fit in. Do you think that these lyrics were influenced by Clockwork Orange? I had read that, but I...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Can you spare us some Cutter Me Brothers? That's from the movie. Okay. So I had read, so cutter is British slang for spare change. Did you know that?
Oh.
We didn't learn that for Dan McGrath while he was here.
I did not know that.
No. Yeah, I didn't either.
Interesting. It's funny. I was reading, I actually wrote down this, you know... I think one song goes into the other. We're talking Echo and the Bunnymen and Susie and the Banshees and their mixing of hippie and goth.
Yeah.
Anyway, this journalist described the song that says it successfully wed the Eastern influenced psychedelic sounds made famous by the Beatles. The Eastern strings re-enter at strategic points, filling in space between verses and Ian McCulloch's esoteric pleas to spare us the cutter. The track never loses steam, cruising through each section with power and grace. And so I wrote that down because I like
that. I think that's a very accurate description.
Yes, it is indeed.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to hopefully we'll get to go to this Cruel World Fest and see this because I'm excited.
So if Echo only gets to play a couple of songs, they should play this for sure.
Oh, yeah, they will. How can you not?
I love the song. This song has good energy, good vibe, good energy.
Yeah, Killing Moon, The Cutter, come on. Yeah. How can you go wrong?
Yeah. You can't.
You can't. Try. Yeah. Not going to happen.
Do you have any more donuts? I would really love a donut break right now.
Okay. Let's go get some donuts. And we'll be right back.
Hey, Pantheon listeners. Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/Pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Hey, guess what?
We're back.
Let's get back into it.
Wait, that was a question. We're back.
Okay.
Post donuts.
For sure. All right. So now we move into the rebel yell of Billy Idol.
Yes.
This is now number 44 on the updated list, but back in the day it was at number 47. The rebel, I didn't realize that this was from the Civil War. There was an actual rebel yell.
Yeah.
Were you?
Except that that's not where he got it from, a brand of whiskey.
Oh,
he took it. So I guess maybe the whiskey was named after the rebel yell.
So this is the song that is based on another alcoholic beverage.
Yeah, because we got some red wine and some bourbon.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess he was at an event with the Stones and they were sharing swigs of a bottle called Rebel Yell.
Yep. And yeah,
he was not familiar with the brand, but he liked the name and decided to write a Rebel Yell song. However, so, I mean, do you read these lyrics and you think it sounds like a woman? I mean, I thought for sure that this was a song about taking a woman to bed, but
it is.
But it's. I don't know. It could be interpreted now that I know it's about a alcoholic beverage. Like, this guy really likes his beverages. It's a love song to this alcoholic beverage. I think.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll have to put our heads together on this one, because I had read that it was about a passionate one night stand with a woman who wants more, more, more.
Could be.
Maybe she wants more whiskey.
Rebel Yell. Yeah.
Yeah.
Initially, I mean, it said, last night a little dancer came dancing to my door. Last night a little angel came pumping across my floor. She said, come on, baby, I got a license for love. And if it expires, pray help from above.
So that could be, that's vague enough.
It's, I mean, when you initially read that, like, well, of course it's a woman.
But
maybe it is something else.
But think
else.
How many songs, that love songs that you think are about a woman but are actually about drugs.
Yeah, I know. In the midnight hour, cry more, more, more.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know.
Could be alcohol, could be a woman.
Either.
Yeah. They're both temptresses.
Yeah. So, okay, did you hear about this song, about Sesame Street? They parodied this song.
Oh, really?
Rebel L.
And what was that song about?
Alphabet, teaching kids the when they were
and
doing
L
alphabet.
Is a rebel song?
Rebel L.
L is, what starts with L that's rebellious? Loneliness, liquor, lust, you know, all the fun.
All the kid things.
All the kid things.
All the Sesame Street watching.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll look that up.
Yeah.
Yep. Are you a Strokes fan?
Not so much.
Oh, okay.
You are, I know, right?
Yeah. They just put out a new record, a new single. They're slowly releasing songs. They gave credit to Billy Idol because they feel like their song, this new song that was released called Bad Decisions, sounds exactly like Dancing With Myself. So it was kind of, it's a fun song, but yeah, when you hear it, and then, like, oh, yeah, that does like Billy Idol's Dancing With Myself.
Well, it's good that they gave him.
Yeah, yeah, they gave him credit for that.
Well, actual credit or just a shout out?
No, actual credit, songwriting yes. Credit, of course.
Excellent.
Moving on to number 46. What do you got?
Oh, it's Tears for Fears, Change.
You Can Change. Is it You Can or You Can't Change? I can't remember. You the Can Change. You Can Change.
Oh.
Very positive.
Okay.
Reading about this, Roland says it's not really about much. It's just one of those cheap pop lyrics.
Yeah. I don't mind that. That might bother some people, but
nothing wrong with that. No, it's a great, it's a great song. You know what makes it great though? It's got some marimba in there.
That does make it great. That is only one of the things that makes it great.
The instrument of 1983.
The marimba, as we've learned.
Got your Gone Daddy Gone, your Love Plus One, and your Change. Marimba.
Go marimba.
Go marimba.
Were you a big Tears for Fears?
Yeah, this was a great album. And
yeah,
we're going to be talking more about Tears for Fears as we go further down this chart. But yes, this was this was a great song. I thought it was just the drumming and, of course, the marimba. But but there's a lot of elements in there. It sounds like there's a lot going on in there. And I it was that one definitely caught my attention back in '83 and still holds up, I think.
Yeah, they're great. And their voices were so great together. Everything about them, they're phenomenal.
Yeah, there were a couple other songs from this album. The what was it called? The Hurting?
This is The Hurting.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, this was their debut, The Hurting. And so we'll be talking a lot about this song. We'll talk a little bit more about a couple of these other songs that were on this list further down the road.
Oh, this is such a great album.
Yeah. Right.
I didn't just discover that. I knew that. Apparently, but I was just reminded of a couple of songs that were on it. Because I was thinking ahead to Seeds of Love. That's after this. Yes.
Yes, that's in like 88. So we'll get there.
Yeah, I know.
One day. Okay, so yeah, Tears for Fears. This is kind of an entry song. I think this was their first single from this album.
Was this song before Mad World and Pale Shelter?
Yeah. Okay. So
World was the first single.
All right. This was the only song from the album to chart on the U.S. charts, and that made it all the way up to number 73.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. But Mad World was released before it.
Okay.
It just didn't chart.
Not in the U.S.
Just so hard to believe.
But it got played on K-Rock, and yeah. That was a song. That was a game changer. Okay, so of course this is still on the list. It's at number 43.
Yeah.
And now we move on to number 45. This is The Police, Synchronicity 2. Still on the list now at number 42. And you're ready to say something? Go ahead.
Okay, totally off Synchronicity for just one moment.
Okay.
This is the first week with all these, I don't know what it is, if it's my state of mind or with all these new entries, that every time we mention a song, I just can't. The whole song just goes through my head. I feel like I'm on. There's that new show, the Zoe's playlist.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I haven't either. But just from what I've read about it, I just can't help. I want to burst into song every time we move to a new song.
So do you remember the difference between number two and number one? It took me a second to because there was Synchronicity.
Yeah.
And number two, do you remember? So if you said, like, without looking at the lyrics, can you sing Number two to me, Synchronicity 2?
I'm not going to sing it for you. Don't okay, get do me to. But yes, I can hear it in my head.
And how's it go?
Yeah.
That's all right. But you do know the difference.
Yeah.
Synchronicity 2 is the one about shouting above the din of our Rice Krispies.
Oh, is that what it's about?
No, it's, you know, about family life. It's just kind of being in a rut, it sounds like, I think, and living the day-to-day dreary life.
Yeah.
This isn't one of my favorite Police songs, but it was a big, big hit. This was their last album, so, you know, enjoy it while you can. Had we known.
And I did. We did enjoy it. And do we know what Synchronicity means?
Please tell me. I mean, just things working in order or something, right? Isn't that something like that? Like a clock?
That's the layman's term.
Okay.
I mean, the layman's explanation. It is the theory that seemingly coincidental events are connected through their meaning. Do you know who coined the term?
Sting?
I know you'd like to think so, but Carl Jung.
Carl Jung.
He created the term as a way to explain paranormal events. This was, you know, Sting. I guess he must have gone through a Carl Jung stage or something like that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, because he's a big believer in synchronicity.
But you
and
love
other
this
things.
Okay. But you love this song more than I do, I guess.
I like this song a lot, yes. I do like King of Pain better if we're comparing songs from Synchronicity.
No, there are a lot of good stuff on. Yeah, that's a good way to go out. Just create a great album and then just end it all. You know, like the Beatles, Abbey Road, done.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. No more.
You think that was their intent?
For the Police?
Or the Beatles?
Yes, for both.
Yeah.
That's the story behind Abbey Road. It was like, all right, let's get in the studio and do it like we used to do it. Yeah. And
then say bye-bye.
I don't know if that was initially what the thought was, but that was, I'm sure the Police went through similar phases. Like, everyone was moving in other directions at that time.
I think it was a little more contentious.
The Beatles?
No, the Police.
Really?
I don't know.
Nothing's more contentious than the Beatles.
I don't know if I would have called that contentious.
Oh, totally. All right.
Don't get me started.
Oh yeah. There were huge issues everywhere. It's a marriage, right? You know,
yeah.
Trying to get four people to get along. By the way, as we go back on the marriage or breaking up, bands breaking up, who did not play on Dear Prudence, the Beatles version?
Who did not play on Dear Prudence?
You have four choices.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you who did not play on Dear Prudence.
Are you cheating?
Please?
This is not an open book test.
Why?
Just throw out a name.
Paul.
No. It was
George.
No.
Ringo?
Ringo. Ringo had left the band at that time. He had quit the band. He was done. Through with the band.
So who played drums?
There was no drummer on there, on that song.
On the Beatles version?
There was no drummer on that version. But
God, you would think how can I call myself a fan? I can't if I don't know this stuff.
No worries. Wow. But yeah, so like a couple of weeks, Ringo had left the band, thinking that he was done. He was fed up, so he left.
He was already getting his all-stars together.
No, not yet. So that was bands breaking up, alcohol going on. I mean,
egos, just egos.
We got this podcast is all tied together with covers and alcohol and breaking up.
Yeah, I mean. Obviously, most of these bands have broken up, but this chunk of 10 bands has a few stories.
We always find a theme somehow. Yeah.
Breakups.
All right. Mm-hmm. So that song is now number 42 on the charts. At the time, back in 1983, it was 45. That's the Police's Synchronicity 2. And we move on to number 44. This is the Fix's Saved by Zero, which has moved up four spaces to number 40 now on the current K-Rock chart.
I only got to number 20 back in the day.
All right. That's pretty good, actually, for the Fix, for a band that's like the Fix.
Why do you say it like that?
I don't know. I mean, it's good on them. Was this this wasn't their biggest hit.
It's funny. Red Skies might have been bigger.
No. We're thinking of, we're missing one song.
It's funny. This is another one. You just refer to them as the band, which I know that they are a band. But just like sometimes I refer to Maroon 5 as Adam Levine, I only think of Cy Kernan when I think about the Fix.
Which you should.
Yeah.
One thing leads to another. Reach number four.
That was big.
In 83. So yeah. I think we'll be talking a little bit more about the Fix later.
You gave it away?
83.
You just gave it away.
I don't know. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't.
Oh, that was we weren't looking at the K-Rock chart.
No.
Okay.
No, that reached number, that's on the Billboard charts.
Right. You're confusing our audience.
So as you talk about Cy Kernan, I have a fun fact about Cy Kernan.
Do tell.
Okay. You know the band Simple Minds?
Very familiar with Simple Minds.
Okay. Do you know the song? What's the song that comes to mind when you think of Simple Minds?
Don't You Forget About Me?
Yes. Okay, so back in 83, I guess, I'm sure before Breakfast Club came out, there was a producer wrote the song with the Simple Minds in mind. He wrote the song for the Simple Minds, and he gave it to Jim Kerr, and he's like, no, this sounds like something that's, I'm not interested in this.
That the Fix might do?
This well. Go
ahead. Oh, did I ruin the story?
That's
seriously?
It's fine, but he...
sorry.
But yeah, so he went up to, Simple Minds and Jim Kerr was like, no, this just sounds like, someone who tried to emulate the Simple Minds. And, I don't think we're going to do this song. I don't want to do this.
Oh.
So this producer brought it to, the song, Don't You Forget About Me, to Brian Ferry. He brought it to Billy Idol and he brought it to Cy Kernan. All of them turned it down. However, I could imagine those are all good choices. It would have been a lot different. I can imagine Billy Idol singing, don't you?
Yes, I can hear the voice, but I can't hear the Fix doing it for some reason.
Yeah, well, it didn't say Cy Kernan. It didn't say the Fix. It said Cy Kernan.
Okay.
So I think maybe they just brought it to him. Is like, oh, you interested in doing this song?
Oh, interesting.
So he could have done it, but they all passed. And then he brought it back to Jim Kerr. And then he's like, fine, I'll do it. And the rest is history.
Yes, it is. Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So there's your Fix trivia that I have.
That's a great tidbit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They passed up on history and Simple Minds. I mean, the Fix could be the Simple Minds now.
Yeah.
You know, you could be like, you know, thinking, wow, the Fix are my favorite band now.
No.
And Don't You Forget About Me. It's so iconic by The Fix. So yeah, this is still on the charts. It moved up to number 40. So this brings me to my asterisk. Yep. As we've mentioned, we go through the K-Rock playlist, the 1983 one and the updated list. What's now inserted in between The Police and Saved by Zero, Synchronicity 2 and The Fix's Saved by Zero, is The Violent Femmes' Blister in the Sun.
Oh, very good.
So that moves into number 41. And I actually emailed Freddie Snakeskin to ask him, why was Violent Femmes' Blister in the Sun not on this list? And so he responded by saying, K-Rock, for whatever reason, didn't actually start playing them until a few years later. 1983 was much more of a synth pop year for us. Not to the exclusion of other things by design, but with so much music flowing into the station back then, sometimes they just slipped through the proverbial cracks.
That's very interesting, because that's a very distinct differentiation. Because if you would have asked me about the Violent Femmes, about Blister in the Sun, mm-hmm. I would have thought I remembered hearing it back then. You know, I would remember that it was of the time for me
mm-hmm.
for years later, but I didn't realize. So what he's saying is K-Rock didn't play that much Violent Femmes.
They didn't play any Violent Femmes back then.
Huh?
Yeah. I think we discovered Violent Femmes probably through college radio.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I started college in 1983.
So there you go. yeah. They were very much a college indie rock band.
Yeah. Okay.
Well. So now K-Rock has
co-opted them for 1983.
Exactly. Hey, this was a song back then. We didn't play it, but now we do.
Yeah. Oh,
our bad. Yeah, exactly.
This is your asterisk, right? Is this what you're about to?
Yeah, The Blister in the Sun. Yes, that was, and that leads me to number 43, Bill Nelson, Acceleration. Is this on the updated list?
Of course not.
No, this is not on the updated list. This is the one song that's not on their updated list. But I can understand why Freddie Snakeskin played it. Were you familiar with Bebop Deluxe?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is from this is kind of like the King Crimson of the time.
Yeah.
Bebop Deluxe, King Crimson, but just an art rock band.
I didn't put that together with Bebop Deluxe until then it all kind of came back to me.
That's a band that last night I almost stayed up too late because I was listening to Bebop Deluxe and like, oh my God, this is some good stuff.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, if you like Roxy Music and T-Rex and all that glam rock stuff, they were of that sound. And you know, you love the 1972, the 75. It's really good stuff.
I think maybe you should stick as an extra added bonus, Bebop Deluxe on the list.
Okay. We could do that.
Yeah.
But, you got something?
No. Hey, did you know that he produced Gary Numan's 1983 album, Warriors?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Gary Numan himself said Bill Nelson was his favorite guitar player, bar none.
Nice.
However.
Oh, what? There's a caveat?
Yes.
He's my favorite guitarist, however.
No, they didn't. They didn't maintain a working relationship, and ultimately, Nelson chose not to be credited for his production role on the album.
That's pretty extreme.
Yeah, I would say so. So you really wonder what went on, right?
Yeah, that is something.
Think about what would have to happen in order for you to not take credit for your as a producer on the album.
There's a name. I'm going to look it up. But when a director does not want to be associated with the movie anymore,
Alan Smithy.
Thank you.
You're
wow,
welcome.
You had that at the ready.
This is random.
You constantly surprise me, Holly. Wow. Yes. So Alan Smithy. So Alan Smithy, this album.
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
Yes.
So proud of you.
Thank you. See, you say that as if I know nothing.
No. We're both the same.
We're a fountain of knowledge.
I understand that. But when it comes to like, in that instant of thinking of a name, we're like,
deer in the headlights.
Yeah, oh my God. Every time.
Now, Alan Smithy comes up quite a bit in the Cantos household. I don't know why.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Very good. All right. So,
yes, he Alan Smithied.
Love it.
Gary Newman's album.
Okay. So that is that song is no longer on the K-Rock list, but it'll be on our Spotify playlist.
Yes.
And on our website that you can access, wddimpodcast.com. Yes. Please sign up. All right, so now we go to B-52s. which is number 42, and it's the Whammy Kiss. We talked a lot about Whammy in a few few episodes back, which was a lot of fun.
We did. I've decided, just so you know, from here on out, I am letting you cover all Athens, Georgia bands. Okay, so just give it to me.
There's nothing more to add. I mean, this song was made number 9 on the U.S. dance charts. And, you know, it's got the classic line, "Come on, Mammy, throw me that whammy." Oh, Fred Schneider. Yeah. See, he wasn't on, I can't remember the song
Legal Tender.
Legal Tender, thank you.
You're welcome.
Wow, you're covering for me today.
Wow.
I think.
And we're not even in my prime time right now. Right. I think we've bypassed my prime time.
Could be the Grand Canyon still affecting my oxygen getting
the
to
air.
My.
Yeah. I'll cover for you.
Yeah, appreciate that. So, yeah, anyway, the B-52s, Whammy Kiss, beautiful, love it. I saw they're playing, as always, they're playing this summer at the Bowl.
Yeah. So, are you going to go?
I might.
Yeah, that's
always
fun.
It's always a good time.
Yeah.
They're always a good time. How can you not have a good time at their shows?
I can't imagine.
I know. I love all of them. They're amazing. Okay. Oh, so that brings us to another. So that's number 38, which means that there was one song that was at number 39 that was not on this list. And it's another big band that's surprising. I think this version that they played would be a live version that this band played in Colorado.
It's you too.
Yes. Which song?
83?
Yeah.
So it can't be Bad.
No.
Can't be 40?
No. It's Sunday Bloody Sunday.
Oh.
So okay. I don't know if this is the version from in
Under
83.
Blood Red Sky?
Because War came out in 83.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is, again, I will defer to Freddie, who says it was synth pop time. And Sunday Bloody Sunday is clearly not that. So maybe they didn't play Sunday Bloody Sunday back in 83, which is hard to believe.
Which also seems impossible.
But it was not. It's not on the list. It's not on the old 83 list. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that
I can't explain. That would be the only explanation.
Yeah. So it's good to get some feedback from Freddie on that. Okay.
Good for you for reaching out.
Oh, I try. You know, I do my due diligence.
You do.
Final song of our podcast this episode.
Number 41.
Correct.
More parentheses.
That's true. So, but which way do the parentheses go?
Well, it's called Whisper to a Scream, and in parentheses, it's called Birds Fly.
However, in some countries, it was Birds Fly, parentheses, Whisper to a Scream.
Is that true?
That is super
true.
Others?
Dave, if you can't tell me which country. Oh, wait. You're right. In the UK, it was Birds Fly, and then Whisper to a Scream was in parentheses.
Thank you.
And it charted twice in the UK. It only reached number 89 in its release in 1983, but 52 released the following year.
So, yeah, much like Redwood Wine, the songs come out again, yeah. Re-release. A lot of themes in this this episode.
Yeah. I like the way you're stringing them together.
I try and find how it all ties together.
Well, do you know the connection to the Beatles?
Wow, go ahead. This is exciting. Please tell me.
They're from Liverpool.
Oh, okay. Love it.
Yeah.
All right. Another Liverpoolian band.
Liverpoolian. Well,
Liverpoolian. Is that right?
Yes.
Are Echo and the Bunnymen from Liverpool? I am looking it up right now. Echo and the Bunnymen are from Liverpool.
Oh, so they are Liverpoolians also.
We are a lot of Liverpool talk, a lot of Liverpool bands, bands that break up. Well, that's exciting that even though it feels like a K-Rock song, it made it onto the mainstream rock charts at 15. Mm-hmm. Kind of, it crossed over. It kind of had that, it has like that wow, wow, wow percussive feel. And, you know, a little Tears for Fears, actually, if you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's definitely K-Rock to me. I would never, if you didn't say that it had charted on mainstream rock, I don't know that I would have guessed.
Right.
Do you know why they reversed the parentheses?
Explain, here? Please.
Do you know?
Please explain. You are the,
you say you don't know. I'm a fountain of knowledge. That's really not true. They reversed the parentheses so it would be easier to find in record stores.
That makes sense.
Here in the United States.
Okay. Birds, because you look up, You look, what, easier to look up Birds Fly than Whisper to a Scream? Oh, because everyone hears Whisper to a Scream. Because you don't hear Birds Fly. I don't think of Birds Fly.
Right.
If you had said, you know the song by the Icicle Works, Birds Fly? It's like, nope, don't know that.
No, it's definitely Whisper to a Scream. I mean, people know because...
Yeah, they say it in the chorus.
Yeah.
It's time for our quiz book. And you have to ask the questions to me.
So you can show off more of your knowledge.
Because last week, as I remember, you failed to remember who U2's debut album was called.
Oh, my God.
Not that I'm throwing that back at you.
Yeah, well, you should. You should. That's horrifying. Yeah. I said October, right?
You did.
Yeah. Boy, I'm embarrassed.
Let's see what we can embarrass me on.
Yeah, nothing. There's nothing.
I don't know. I seem to have lost a lot of oxygen in the past week.
We'll see. I see you're getting your second wind.
Yeah.
Okay. Who had a hit in 1983 with the song Joanna?
That would be... Oh, I'm thinking of Rosanna.
Yes, you are.
Joanna is Cool in the Gang.
Exactly.
Rosanna, Joanna, Rosanna, Joanna, yes. Rosanna, Rosanna, Joanna, Dana.
Oh, all right. I'm pretty sure you're going to get all these. In fact, I am. I'm going to wager that you are going to get 100% on this one. Okay. Who released the song Blue Jean in 1984?
Well, Blue Jean is David Bowie.
You're very good. Who had a hit in 1983 with the song Let's Dance?
The same.
I'm not even looking at the answers to this. The album Purple Rain was released by which artist?
That would be Prince.
Which song by the group Blondie contains the phrase, I'm going to be your number one?
The tide is high. I'm going up. Yep. Tide is high.
I'm sorry. I don't recognize that.
Please don't. here's something I did not know. Cover song. First recorded by Jamaican reggae band The Paragons.
The tide is high?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. More reggae though, right?
Yeah. You can hear this as a reggae song for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I can't hear Red Red Wine as a non-reggae song.
The Tide is High is a 1967 single, much like Red Red Wine was also 1967. We're all tying this together.
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
Wow, there's a lot of interconnectivity here today.
Ah, fun, fun, fun. Okay, keep going.
What was the name of the album released by Fleetwood Mac in 1982?
82, that would be Mirage.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. In which year did Madonna release the album True Blue?
True Blue, baby, I love...
Do you want
No. Don't. Hold on. it was 85. Ooh. Wait. Because,
Can I give you the choices? Wait.
Yeah, Like a Virgin was 83, and then True Blue was the third one. So was it 84? It couldn't... Or 86?
Yes.
Oh.
86.
All right. So
I'm going to give you full credit for that because I didn't even give you the choices.
No, okay. Yep. So, because you want to.
Because I want to win.
Yeah, I guess.
No. Because you ultimately landed on it.
Yeah, well, I had 10 choices.
Okay, who was responsible for playing keyboards in the group Duran Duran in the 1980s?
That was Nick Rhodes.
Very good. Who had a hit in 1983 with the song Flashdance, What a Feeling?
I was Irene Cara.
Didn't we have a flash dance.
Because we were talking last week, we talked about number one hits.
Oh,
dance
right.
Hits, and that was a parenthesis song. Oh, no, ellipsis.
Ellipsis,
flash
yeah.
Dance, dot, dot, dot.
What a feeling.
What a feeling.
Who released the song Hard Habit to Break in 1984?
Oh, that was Chicago.
See, I win.
Oh, okay.
You got them all.
Nice. Okay, so let's wrap this up.
Already?
Yes. Again... We have a website. And we will be putting together it'll probably initially be a monthly.
Don't commit.
Yeah. Initially monthly, maybe weekly, but we'll put in fun 80s facts and little blurbs and whatever's going on in the world of 80s music.
Maybe a little backward masking.
Whatever it takes. it'll be nice. It'll be a quick, you'll look through it and put a smile on your face. So please sign up at our website, which is
WDDIMpodcast.com.
Yes. And that keyword is perfect for also, you can use that for Twitter, right?
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Well, or you could just type in what difference does it make? Because you want to know what difference it makes.
Okay. But our WDDIM podcast is where you can find us on all social media platforms.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is correct, Dave.
I love that. Okay. Because I'm trying to make it easy for you.
And there, I don't think that explanation was very easy.
I try.
Hopefully you'll clean it up in post.
A little circle. But yes, WDDIM podcast for all your social media needs. Okay, so until next week, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.